It was the eve of Jonas's birthday a few years ago. It was just before 8:30 in the evening, and I was walking upstairs with Samara to tuck her into bed. It had been another busy weekend. Samara had been busy too, with homework and some time for rest and recreation before she got back into the humdrum of the school week. Samara and I realized that the one thing she hadn't made time for was to make a card for Jonas. Anyway, I told her to try and make some time the next day, and she could give it to him in the evening. Samara went off to bed, and Jonas and I got on with the rest of our evening. Later, when we headed to bed, I checked in on Samara, and she was fast asleep. When we woke up the next morning, there was a beautiful card by Jonas's bedside. We were moved to tears when we discovered that somehow Samara had managed to wake up in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. she said it was, and made the card for Jonas. How do you love? If we look around us here, even today, we can find numerous examples of selfless love, even here in St. Stephen's. Celia, Martin, the other cool Christians leaders, and their absolute dedication to our children. They go above and beyond. Jeff and his obsession with getting it right with the toilets and the drainage. Marianne and her passion for working together with the Frogs, which is the group of young people who fully rely on God. And how could I not mention Jane and the stellar part she plays in our outreach work, particularly the community fete. Love is probably the most used, misused, and misunderstood word of all time. The media portrays distorted images and definitions of love, from I'm in love with the shape of you, to who knows what tomorrow brings. In a world, few hearts survive. It's only the love of Jesus that can truly lift us up to where we belong. Let's turn to his word and find out more about this love, which is the greatest commandment and one of the distinguishing marks of a true disciple of Jesus. After the Pharisees and Herodians had failed to trap Jesus with their questions on paying taxes, the Sadducees decided to try. Now, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and the Pharisees had failed to give them a satisfactory answer. But Jesus managed to silence the Sadducees with reference to scripture from the book of Exodus. Jesus' answer gave the Pharisees a theological victory over the Sadducees. But they were more interested in catching Jesus out than in learning the truth. The Pharisees, who had classified over 600 laws, often tried to distinguish the more important from the less important. Reading from verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Yet again, Jesus' response to this group of zealous Jewish leaders was careful, clever, and inspired by the word of God. The Pharisees believed that the only way they could please God and make it into heaven was by meticulously following a long list of religious rules and regulations. Jesus' critique of the Pharisees is that they were legalistic, more concerned about the outward appearance of keeping the law rather than the inward spirit of the law. Jesus tells us that if we truly love God and our neighbor, we will naturally keep the commandments. Rather than focusing on what we should not do, he urges us to concentrate on all that we can do to show our love for God and others. In his book on Matthew's Gospel, the late Henry Hammond said, Jesus does not separate love for God from love for man, since the latter flows from the former, and since without the latter, the former is impossible. We talk about loving our family and friends, loving strawberries and ice cream, or loving a good holiday or a good book. When we use the word like that, we are expressing our affection and have warm feelings for whatever it is that we love. Because we associate love with affection, we can often find it difficult to love those who annoy us, those who may have hurt us, or those whom the world deem not deserving of love. When the Bible talks about love, it primarily means a love that keeps on loving. It means commitment. So whilst we may have warm feelings of gratitude to God for all that he has done for us, it's not warm feelings that Jesus is demanding of us today. It's stubborn, unwavering commitment. In the same way, when we love others, including our enemies, we're not being asked to show just affection. Rather, a commitment to taking the needs of others seriously. Just like God took our needs seriously and sent his son into the world. This kind of love does not come naturally. This kind of love can only come from God. But putting it into practice is something that we have to work on. Love is a deliberate act of the will. To love means to deliberately turn toward another person and their needs, and to give something of ourselves without expecting anything in return. Luke's gospel offers the great example of the Good Samaritan who loved his enemy and committed his time, money, and energy to tending to the needs of the man who was left for dead by the side of the road. I'd like us to briefly dwell on the three aspects of the greatest commandment. Love with all your heart. What does it mean to love Jesus with all your heart? The heart is that part which contains our emotions, our affections, and our desires. It is our affections that determine our devotion. Ruth, who was born a Gentile and not a Jew, came to really love the God of Israel and his people. And so even when her husband died, she chose to return to Bethlehem and live with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Despite all of his affliction, Job continued to love and serve God. And he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Does Jesus command our affection and devotion? In order for the heart to love Jesus completely, we need to treasure him. When we truly encounter Jesus and desire a personal relationship with him, loving him with all of our hearts will be the end result. Love with all your soul. We love the Lord with all our soul by living a life of faithfulness in the choices we make, in the behavior and lifestyle we adopt. It means living in obedience to his word. WWJD, what would Jesus do, is a good temperature check to help us determine whether we're living the life that Jesus has called us to. We are in the world, but not of the world. Do we live as followers of Jesus, in following our dreams and desires, and in our interactions with family, friends, colleagues, or even the stranger in the supermarket queue behind us? Jonas and I recently celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary. Loving one another means living in obedience to the covenant we made 10 years ago, and loving unconditionally, whether we feel like it or not. Some days are easier than others, and I'm sure Jonas could tell you more. But on those other days, we thank God for the covenant we made on our wedding day. Love with all your mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul tells the Romans that the renewing of our minds is vital to living a life that brings glory and honor to Jesus. Loving God with our minds involves soaking in the knowledge of His Word and growing in our understanding of Him and His ways. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And as our minds grow in the knowledge of Jesus, we are liberated to love Him more. This was the theme of last Wednesday's session at Alpha. Have we committed to reading the Bible in a year? Or could we do so right now? Loving Him with all our minds also compels us to remember all of the times that we have experienced His faithfulness, the fullness of His grace and favor, and to know that He is the same yesterday, today, and always. The God who led and inspired the people of St. Stephen's 150 years ago is the same God who draws us to Himself even today. Just as He has been faithful in our lives and brought us thus far, He is able to see us through any situation that you and I may be grappling with today. For He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. How do you love your neighbor? On December the 4th, 2006, a 19-year-old soldier who was serving in Iraq saw a grenade thrown from a rooftop. Manning the machine gun in his Humvee, he tried to deflect the explosive, but it landed in his vehicle. He had just about enough time to jump to safety. Instead, he threw his body over the grenade in a stunningly selfless act of love and saved the lives of four fellow soldiers. Jesus' call to us today isn't to step into a war zone or to catch a grenade Bruno Mars style, but it is to reach out to our neighbor, literally and figuratively. Could you get involved in the winter night shelter or soup kitchen? Could we support Food Bank, Christian Aid, or Christians Against Poverty? Could we reach out to our next door neighbor with the love of Jesus? In response, I'd encourage us to pause briefly and think of two things. What will you and I seek to do differently to demonstrate our love for Jesus and to love Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind? And secondly, think of one person who needs your loving today and one practical way in which you can demonstrate your love and commitment. Father, we thank you for your love. And Father, we pray that you will help us to respond. Father, that we will give of ourselves, that we won't hold anything back. And just like you reached out, Father, to your disciples, to the crowds, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Father, we pray that we will reach out with Jesus' love. We also commit to you the person that we are thinking of today. And we pray that in the coming week, you'll give us the opportunity to reach out. In Jesus' name. Jesus says to us in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Amen.